This is AK209 After Dark with Mark Moe of The Mark Moe Show. We cover some pretty serious topics in this episode, such as depression and ideation. If you're uncomfortable with those topics, feel free to skip to the 20-minute mark to get to the 15. Hello! Welcome back to AK209 After Dark. The only show with me, Aiden Maloney, and always a guest, the wonderful Mark Moe of The Mark Moe Show, soon to be podcast. I'm sure there will be some exciting news about that. It's fantastic to have you back on.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, as I just teased the people, I'm sure you're used to hearing the plugs about The Mark Moe Show and After Hours, but a little change coming up, exciting changes for the future of The Moe Show and After Hours. You want to... want to give the people some hints, maybe?
Sure, yeah. So I left WVLP weeks ago, and I'm taking my shows with me. Most, if not all, of my underwriters are coming with me, which is great.
Very good.
And so the Mark Moe Show, which is not a music show, it is a talk variety show, will air, that's hilarious.
I'm still
on radio mode.
I did do that a lot when Kev and I started AK209.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we can't say that on air. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Not necessarily.
Right, you can. So at any rate, I'm not sure when the podcast will go. Definitely on YouTube and through RSS feed and all that stuff out into the webosphere. And once I get that all figured out, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And the other show is a music show that's After Hours. And so that becomes a little bit more difficult in that I
right.
have to find an internet radio service to do that one. I had a guy to the UK months ago that wanted to do the show, but there were just too many logistical issues at the time, and I just wasn't going to have time to do it. So I may re-engage him. There's a guy out of Hobart that has a really nice studio and also internet radio capabilities.
Oh, nice.
So I'm
right.
going to talk to him, and then I have a few others I'm looking at. So we're just going to see if that dog will hunt. So After Hours may come back a little bit down the line, but Mark Moe Show probably a little bit sooner
right.
Than that. If I had to kind of just throw something out there, I'd be like either Thanksgiving weekend or perhaps the weekend after by
True.
The time we get everything set up. There's some logistical issues there too as far as where I'm going to produce that. Now, for those that listen to the Mark Moe Show, they know that my co-host is Aiden Maloney.
You're this guy.
So we may do some, if not all of them, from here. From the old studio. So we're going to figure all that out. But once I know, you'll know. We'll put it on the socials, and
true.
That'll be that.
Yeah, and all that good info is always going to be in the description of the videos. If you're listening on audio, I don't know if I can implement that, but I mean, there's links everywhere. There's always links
sure.
everywhere. So
oh, yeah.
if you're interested, definitely keep your ears and eyes peeled. And that's very exciting news.
It is.
Because that means the Mo Show will not only be available 24/7 wherever you are, it also means we don't necessarily have to apply by the FCC's rules.
That's true.
That's the best part about having a podcast.
It really is. You know, so if you're talking about something and you're passionate about it and you let a word or two slip, or maybe the content is somewhat dicey for
sure.
your airwaves, it's something that we can accommodate now.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty cool.
It is very good stuff. So we always kick off. That is something of a vibe, brand new podcast / internet radio coming, but we always start off with the vibe of the week, something fun, funny, wholesome, or real that's happened the last 7 days. Doesn't even have to be seven. Could be 14, 21, any multiple of seven, really, but nothing besides that. We're strict mm-hmm. on some things. So what's the vibe? It's been
it's been weird. That's why I'm wearing the dark sunglasses.
Yeah, a little dicey.
It's dicey. So if Aiden needs to clean this up a little bit, I'm sure he can do that. But at any rate, for about 10 months, I've been mostly unemployed. I've had some work recently and done some little gigs and things in the past and whatever. kind of looking for the next great opportunity, and every time one comes up, it kind of slips through my fingers. So
right.
After 600, almost 700 now applications, it wears on you.
Right.
And there's a lot of self-doubt right now.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I'm trying to make it through. Right. I'm trying to make it through. And, you know, some people will, you just got to stay positive. And it's like... It's
so much easier said than done.
So much easier said than done.
Right.
It's just like, what do you say to the boxer? It's been knocked to the canvas 700 times.
Right.
It's kind of a tough go. So, I mean, that's really been getting to me. Leaving the radio station was super hard.
Very tough. That was 7 years on air, right?
Seven and a half.
Yeah.
And so, most people out there don't know, only a handful know, but back, and I know the exact date, on January 5th, it was a Friday, and sorry, guys.
You're all right.
Yep, I'm good. We're going to do this, because I need to. I thought about ending things, I guess you can say, just due to a bunch of things that, like, all happened at one time, and personally, just really traumatic stuff, and I did not handle it, and if this guy right here hadn't have been home, I don't know if I'd be here today, but he was, and I appreciate it, and anyway, the reason I start there is because this guy, and including a handful of other friends, really helped me a lot through what was going on. And not that I had this immediate, like, back to normalcy. I didn't. But they got me level, you know, so I could start using this thing again and start sussing things out and thinking about things. In a somewhat proper manner. And I had a friend, and we had dinner, and he said, hey, I noticed you hadn't been doing your radio shows. I'm like, no, and told him about what had been going on and everything.
Right.
And he had battled depression, and they had a relative that committed suicide, and it was very sudden. I guess like most of them, right?
Right.
It was very sudden, and they weren't expecting it. And so... he said, you know, that the whole family was, of course, just shocked, and they were in deep depression. He's like, you know, he's like, I have some advice. He's like, obviously, you can do whatever you want. He said, but don't give up the things that you love.
Right.
Because that's the stuff that's eventually going to help bring you out of this and seeing the light again and just getting back to who you are.
Right.
And it was really great advice. And so Aiden and I devised a show where I could talk a little bit about my struggles, and we talked about mental health, and we gave out important information. And I was overwhelmed at the response from the public.
Right.
Doing that show. A lot of people really appreciated it. Other people that were having issues and things like that, and they responded, and I felt really good. I felt what we did was cathartic in a way. It helped me out, but I realized the real reason I did it was because I know there's other people out there struggling.
Right.
And I wanted, number one, to let them know that they weren't alone, and number two, that there are resources for them where they can get help.
Yeah.
Which I did, and I don't know if it's legally, but you're not supposed to mention who your therapists are and things like
sure.
that. Sure. But I'll just mention that she's really super great. anyway, I kind of been battling that on and off for this year. This year sucked. 2024. So yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, time goes on. I'm applying for jobs. Not really getting anything. And so in addition to radio, and of course hanging with this guy, the other thing that was kind of my happy place or things that brought me joy was a bar restaurant in town, and the people there are super great. And the cool thing about it was it's not so much like, oh, I'm going there to drink. That's probably not the best thing for a guy suffering from depression. It wasn't so much about that. It was more being in a place where they play music that you love, because music therapy is a thing.
That's true.
And it's with people that you consider your friends.
The homies.
And so that's, that was super important to me. So I had all these different venues, and they were all positive, and they were things that kind of kept me level. And so fast forward to more recently, leaving the radio station was a very difficult thing because I didn't want to.
Right.
I thought I'd be there for 20 years.
Yeah.
I really, really did. And when some certain circumstances came up, once again involving employment, and I felt like the organization just really let me down.
Yeah.
They really, really, really let me down. And it's a difficult thing to talk about because I'm not a kind of person to burn bridges or, you know, sit here and throw barbs and jabs if I don't have to.
Sure, right.
You know, I'll do it to an actor or a politician or something on it because I really don't know them and it doesn't matter and it's entertainment and whatever. Yeah. But in this case, because it's personal and it's local, it's more difficult to do.
Right. Yeah, there's a difference between, you know, punching up at those celebrities or politicians than, you know, punching horizontally. It's like, eh.
Right.
Doesn't really feel right.
And so in a snap, I was like, I found out I didn't get the job. I never even got the interview for it, with glowing recommendations and a great resume and the whole thing. Association with the organization.
Right.
And found out on accident.
Mm-hmm.
And when finding out, it was like so matter of fact, like, oh, well. And I'm like, no, that's...
Like, what do you mean, oh, well?
That's not acceptable.
Right.
So that was it. And we had our last show, Mark Moe's show, on a Saturday. That was super emotional for me. The end of that show was super hard to get through.
Right.
Super, super hard. And so we're at this establishment, and this guy here calls a buddy of mine who lives way in the north suburbs. It's like 100 miles for him to come down.
Right.
And so he comes down, surprises me. It was a great surprise. And it was great. But what happened was I kind of lost it in the bar, because when I had the final show and did the sign off, and then I posted my final, because I wasn't going to do it online. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get through this. I didn't get through it on air. I'm not going to get through it on a Facebook Live or anything like that. So I'm like, you know, I'm just going to post the excerpt from that farewell. And I had so many people, friends, but more than friends, it was people in the industry,
right,
that were really sad to see me go, and it felt good. So I don't know if those tears were so much like based on anger or sadness.
Sure.
It was different. It was people telling me I mattered, and going so long with not being able to find a job and feeling like no one cares about you.
Right.
I broke down, and it was something. It really was. And one of my friends, she came up and she gave me a super big hug, and it meant a lot. And that's kind of where I'm going with this last part, in that I have or had, I don't know yet, this friend. And I would consider her a really great friend. Anyway, known each other about 10 months or so, give or take. And our friendship just kind of grew out of, you know, just sharing this venue and conversations and whatnot. But like when you meet like your person, and like that person you click with, a person that's going to become your, you just know it, you know, and our friendship kind of grew and it was great. And, lately, because of all of this self-doubt and things that were just entering my head, I kind of had this vibe that, that my friends there were giving up on me too. And, anyway, I've been seeing her for a couple weeks or whatever, and then had this idea in my head that, you know, maybe I'm just not going to, associate myself with them anymore. So I wrote a text at like 11:30 at night when I'm in a state like this and was like, hey, it's been super great knowing you and blah, blah, blah. And tell everybody else there I'm going to miss them and that sort of thing. And I sent it and then regretted sending it about an hour after I sent it. And so she didn't respond to it. And the next day I'm feeling shitty. I'm on my way to work and I'm tried to give her a quick call. Didn't go through. I'm like, okay, she's pissed. And rightfully so. But anyway, that night, there's an old In Excess video, and in this video, they're singing this song and they have these cards and the cards have words and phrases and they're like, all the guys are flipping through them. So I thought I would do something as a way to apologize that just said, I'm super sorry. And then my next card was like, will you forgive me? And the next card was like, yes or no, happy face, sad face. So I thought it was like heartfelt, but kind of cute too. Mm. And I thought, like that did the trick, but I still think there was enough there where I think she's still processing some stuff. And so when, I went to see my friends last night, it was not the same. It just was not the same. She wasn't rude. Yeah. I don't think she would ever be rude to anybody. But I could tell. I could tell. I was like, this is damaged. And I feel super, super, super bad about it. And when you think you've lost a friend, it hurts a lot.
Right.
So I'm not sure what's going to happen from here on out. But as I said earlier, which I hope tied all this in together, two of the three things that meant so much to me that helped me in a dark time might be gone. And I'm struggling with it. And I guess we'll just see. So sorry for the sad vibe, folks.
Well, we will put links in the description, of course, links to things like the Trevor Project, crisis hotlines, crisis text lines, any mental health support. There are people that do love and care about you. All of those links will be in the description. I think it's important to share vibes like that, you know, because a lot of what you see on social media is like the high points or, you know, the so-called Instagram realities of people's lives. And it can be very difficult, especially if you're going through a rough time, to see everyone's, you know, pristine moments. And, you know, being real sometimes and vulnerable is important, because there are people that go through difficult times, and knowing that A, you're not alone, and B, there are resources for you is very important to know and to share, you know?
Yeah, it is important. And for what it's worth, I still love you, and I hope you'll forgive me at some point, but I just want to throw that out there too.
Well, with that said, check the links in the description if you feel you need to, because they are there for you. And we will be right back in one moment's time for a returning favorite segment. We are back for a returning segment. We had this on last time, so this will be its second appearance. The 15.
Ah, let's go.
Which, of course, is kind of a little hype up for the Mo Show podcast. Mm-hmm. when whenever that'll be dropping, I'll put links in the description as well. We'll probably do an episode to hype it up here.
Oh, for sure.
On After Dark.
Yeah.
But the 15 is a list of 15. Pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Anything statistical, geographical, quiz, trivia, anything that the quiz master... Now, A, this is not quiz time. This is the 15. They're distinctly different because the number 15 is involved with this one.
It's a fair comment.
The main discerning factor.
It's a fair comment.
So I have for Mark Moe and you, the lovely listener, the 15 most winning NFL teams in the last 20 years.
Ooh,
so
okay.
The 15 teams with the most wins in the National Football League of the last 20 years. So I took this starting from 2023 because I believe it went 2003 through the 2023-24 season.
Okay.
So I believe that's the 20 years I'm covering here. If you're a sports fan, you'll probably do pretty well. If you're not a sports fan, throw out some cities. Throw out some random team
names.
You'll probably be right on several. So,
yes.
This is also a little hint for the Mo Show because we cover sports a lot. So,
yes, we do.
Usually, with the 15, you get 3 strikes and you're out. Since there's only one 15 today, I am offering 5 strikes.
Wow.
And
thank you. I appreciate that.
I figure you'll do pretty well because you're a knowledgeable guy about football.
So. I'm a dumbass with everything else, especially sending texts at 11:45 at night. Terrible at that.
That's the advice. Don't send late night texts.
No. Drunk, sad, mad. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the 20 years, over the last 20 years, the 15 most winning NFL teams. Go ahead.
Okay. Ravens?
Ravens are number 4 with 210 wins.
Got it. Good, good. 49ers?
The 49ers, not on the list.
Are you kidding me?
No, not on the list. That is strike numero uno.
I'm shocked and I'm sad.
I think they were in the top 20.
Okay.
Yeah, they were just out of the 15. The Chicago Bears, our favorite team, not even close.
I was not even going to guess
not
them.
Even,
How about the Kansas City Chiefs?
KC Chiefs, number 6,
okay,
with 205 wins.
4-6. I hate to say this one, but I'm sure they're on it. The Green Bay Packers.
That is number 3 with 214 wins.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. All right. How about the Buffalo Bills?
Buffalo Bills? It's a pretty good guess. Tied for 14th place.
Whoa,
with 175 wins.
Just got that one in.
Reminder for NFL fans, they were not good before Josh Allen showed up.
That's fair. That's a fair comment.
But they made the list, so you stay at one strike.
So I stay. I stay at one. Okay. That's good. Okay. Okay. Really trying to think here.
Yeah.
All right, how about the Dallas Cowboys?
Dallas Cowboys tied for 9th with 198 wins.
Got it. Okay, how about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Pittsburgh Steelers number 2.
Ooh.
221 wins.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
If you're playing along at home, make sure to keep track of your own strikes because I can't do it from this side of the screen.
Exactly.
So, sorry.
No cheating.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Comment how well you did. I'll know if you're cheating.
That's right. We all know.
Mm-hmm.
He sees you when you're... So that's creepy as hell by Santa.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah,
just
that's
no.
Enough.
That's enough.
That's what we call an invasion of privacy. All right?
Yeah. Sounds like Santa's more like Matt Gaetz. let's see.
He's the Santa Claus just for minors.
Just for minors, and we're not talking about coal. Screw that.
Ew,
coal.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, back to the list. Okay.
Still one strike. Doing pretty good.
Still one strike. Doing pretty good. Okay. Raven Steeler. Okay, how about... man, there's some of these where I just kind of...
Don't know if they're toeing the line or not.
You know, they had some pretty good teams, even though they've just been ass lately, but I'll say the New York Giants.
The New York Giants? Not on the list.
See, I knew it. Damn it.
Strike dose.
Damn it, damn it, damn it. Okay.
I know this knowledge is up there. You're doing pretty good so far. Locked down six of these.
What the Denver Broncos?
Denver Broncos? 13.
Oh,
number 13. Okay. They've got 185 wins.
Go Broncos.
Yeah, because I believe the Peyton Manning era was during the last 20 years.
Yes.
So they did very well.
They won some games. Then, yeah. That is for sure. I'm like going conference by conference in my head. The Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks tied for seventh.
Okay.
With 202 wins.
Okay. That's good. That's good. I hope you're keeping track. I am not. they've been to a couple Super Bowls. I'm going to say the Rams.
The Rams? Not on the list.
So what are we? Three strikes?
That is three strikes.
Damn. Okay.
How you doing at home? You doing pretty good?
Yeah, hopefully you are. I'm not struggling, but I'm not doing as well as I thought I would.
Yeah, it might be a little easier if I did like the past 10 years because recency and everything. But
nah, this is fine.
Yeah, figured 20 was the right amount of difficulty.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Gosh darn it! I'm like trying to think of teams that have been in the playoffs a lot.
Yeah.
But then it's like I think of some teams that have been good lately, but if they were just ass before that, then it's like, you know, if they had 3-4 win seasons.
That's true.
Takes away from the 12 or 13 win seasons. Oh, how about the Colts?
The Colts, number 5.
Okay.
Colts have 209 wins.
It's a lot of Peyton Manning in that one.
That's true.
Like, that just popped in my head. I'm like, wait, where was he before?
Yep. Smart move, actually.
Thank
Tracking
you.
The elite players.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You're probably thinking of number one right now.
The New England Patriots.
New England Patriots.
Oh, my God.
Number one with 244 wins.
I should be on the Tom Brady roast right now. Oh, my God.
Not even a close number one. They're out there.
They're way ahead of the pack. Holy cow.
Locked down the top six and some.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Still three strikes.
Figured
you'd do pretty well at this one. You've come back around to like knocking them out.
Yeah. I'm working on it. So let's see. Philadelphia Eagles
tied for seventh.
Let's go.
202 wins.
Okay, that's good. We're back. We're back, baby.
Yep. It's pretty damn good so far. You have 11 of the 15 knocked down.
All right.
Yep.
Feeling pretty good about that. How about the New Orleans Saints?
The old Drew Brees era, tied for ninth with 198 wins.
Let's go. All right, that's
pretty good.
That's good. I feel good about that. Okay.
The tough ones are the ones that are left.
This is dicey.
Because you have the top 10 and 13 and 14.
Okay.
So you only got three teams that remain.
Okay.
But you only got two strikes to play with.
It seems like the Vikings were always in the playoffs. How about Minnesota?
Tied for 11th, Minnesota Vikings.
Let's go.
186 wins.
I love that. Two left, huh?
Yes, two left.
I don't think anyone's ever completed the 15.
No one's done a full run. Nope. Oh, could this be the day?
It's pressure.
Could this be the day?
It's a lot of pressure. Okay. We're going to cross off the AFC West because I think we got that done. I'm going to... If it's not the Niners or the Seahawks, then we cross that one off. So the West is done. So we get to the North, to the Packers and the Vikings. Lions and Bears, ha.
Yeah, I know,
so right? So that's done. And now it's not one of those, so we cross off the Norths. Now we're to the South. AFC South. We did the Colts. We did the Titans. The Titans had some good years, but I don't know if it's a... We'll come back to them. Come back to you, Tennessee. We'll come back to you.
You can tell how hard he's thinking right now.
I am.
Going through conference by conference.
After what I went through in the first segment and now to this, it's steaming.
Like, yeah.
It's hot to touch my brain. Okay. So then we get to the East. I think we covered Buffalo. The Jets are ass.
True.
And then is Buffalo, the Jets, Miami, We did the Patriots. Patriots buff, that's probably it out of that one. But then the NFC East, we said Philly. Dallas was not on there. Washington, the Giants suck. I think I said the Giants.
Dallas was on there. You got Dallas.
Dallas was on there. Okay. So we're cross that off. So we got the east that's out, the north that's out, the west.
I think you did all four cardinal directions.
I did. Yeah. I really did. I'm kind of in my brain. I'm going around the NFL geography, as it were. I will say the Tennessee Titans.
That is strike number four.
All right.
Aye, aye, aye.
All right. God.
You want hints, or do you want to just cold run these last two?
I got to do it cold, yep. Man. I'm too close. I have to do it cold. So let's say the Miami Dolphins.
That is number five. Strike number five. Oh. 13 out of the 15. A phenomenal run. Did you do as well at home? Let us know in the comments.
Okay, so.
That was fantastic.
Was it the Chargers?
It was the Chargers.
God.
Yep. Chargers were tied for 11th.
186. 186 for the Chargers.
Yep.
And then, God, the other one, I can't.
They've been fairly fine for a while.
Okay.
And they had a couple good years, and that got them on this list, the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons.
Yep.
God darn it.
So you missed the Falcons and Chargers. You got the Bills, Broncos, Vikings, Saints, Cowboys, Seahawks, Eagles, Chiefs, Colts, Ravens, Packers, Steelers, and Patriots. 15. You got 13 right. That's solid.
Yeah.
Comfortable saying that's the best performance we've had yet on the 15.
All right. I'm bummed I didn't run the table, although I came really close.
It was really close.
Yeah. Really close.
Yeah. So hopefully you enjoyed that segment. I think you did phenomenally. Well done.
Thank you.
Let us know what you think in the comments, and we will head on to Burning Questions, the final segment, in 1 second's time. We have returned for the closing segment, Burning Questions, where the questions are so hot they are, in fact, burning. We go to everyone's second least favorite website, Reddit. Source questions people ask into the ether. No one better to answer them than the two omnipotent beings sat in front of you. That's what we do.
That is what we do.
You ask, we answer. You have a question for us? Put it in the comments. Hit us up on socials. We have a subreddit now, too. AK209. Check it out. I'm the only mod on there, so I don't have, like, posts open.
Oh, okay.
But, like, the comments are. So
I got you.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of how I have to run it, because we don't have a big enough following to have Reddit mods or, like, Twitch mods or anything like
got
that.
Got it. Yep.
So that's just
you'll get
at.
There.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
We'll get there. Question from user, the 1789. Cool.
All right.
Probably a good year for white people.
I'm guessing so.
Yeah, a bad year for everyone else.
Yes.
Per every year, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get $1 million, but you have to poop in every county in Iowa over 3 months to complete the challenge. So they say Iowa is 99 counties. You're not allowed to take laxatives unless you need to during the last 2 days of the challenge. I'm taking the challenge because it didn't say there was like a fee to enter.
And it didn't say like where. It's not like I have to drop trow in a cornfield
and
do a dump. Like I can just use a public washroom.
Yeah. You've got to imagine 99 counties, right? It's Iowa, so it's pretty sparsely populated. But you have to imagine there's at least a gas station or a convenience store in every county. You've got to imagine, right?
Yeah.
And if there's not, then it's probably got like a population of like 200 and you probably could just shit in a cornfield.
Right, yeah.
You know? So I'll take the challenge. 3 months, right?
I'll complete that challenge in a month.
Yeah.
Because, number one, I drink copious amounts of caffeine, which when you only sleep 4 hours in 2 days, it's kind of important.
True.
So I would drink copious amounts of caffeine and chocolate and things like that so that I'm ready.
It's just running through you.
And you just go right down I-80 and you could probably kill a dozen to 15 counties in the first day or two.
That's got to be running through you then.
We can do it. We can do it.
So you got to like Taco Bell every day, a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
You'll probably be good.
Sliders,
sure. It's a reason they're called sliders.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel I could accomplish that in a month.
Yeah.
I really did. Because you're talking three counties a day.
Three counties a day. Three,
it's easy.
Three defecations a day. You could probably do it. Yeah.
I could do it.
Yeah. Because we're talking 99 counties. So you have to take 99 shits to complete the challenge in less than 3 months.
I think it's doable. I think I've done that in a week.
Yeah. It's a rough week.
It's a rough week, indeed. But like I said, when you drink a lot of caffeine, that'll happen.
Yeah.
I could do it.
Yeah.
I could do it.
And like the amount of gas money that you'll spend, a couple hundred maybe. But if you're making a mill, you'll be fine. You know, you'll be fine in the end.
Yep.
So I think I'll definitely take the challenge.
I'm in.
Yeah. Iowa's not huge. It's not huge like Montana is. You know, no, it's not huge like
I-80 from border to border. So that's what, from Illinois to Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
you're talking 3.5 hours.
Right.
That's the drive on I-80. So if you go end of state to end of state, you're going to do that in a day.
True.
So
you could even make that just a portion of the day.
Yeah, or a portion.
If you can hit every county along the way, which is a lot. That's right. A lot.
It's a lot of pooping.
Yeah, you got to put a lot in to get a lot out, too. So probably running up some food bills.
Running up some food bills.
Yeah.
But I feel if you have a lot of chips and dips and sliders and tacos and caffeine and...
I hear, like, it's not a laxative, so you can do this. But I'm pretty sure if you just consume olive oil, it just runs through you. It's like there are natural ways you could get around the laxative rule. You're talking prune juice, olive oil, and coffee. Coffee is just a way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's ways to get around the so-called human limit of pooping.
Yeah.
So we're talking seven figures. I'm in.
I'm definitely in.
Yeah.
You write the check.
Yeah, exactly.
Write the check.
Maybe even make some content out of it.
Yes, exactly.
So weird.
It would be weird.
Yeah.
Although the content we should be making should be the next long, long awaited second edition of Towns That Time Forgot.
Very true.
It's on YouTube. I think it's on your...
It's on my personal channel, which there's always a link in the description to if you're interested.
Yeah. I think we need to do that. Maybe it's just me, but there's a certain town in Illinois that's calling my name.
It is.
It's Gilman.
And Gilman has our hearts.
Gilman is the modern-day megalopolis. It is just very true. And it's windy as hell.
Yeah. That's just what we know about it.
That's what we know.
If you look up Gilman, Illinois on Wikipedia, at least last time I checked, like one of the places of note is a bus stop. So that tells you everything you need to know about Gilman. It's known for its bus stop.
I think I saw a picture of a chicken.
That sounds right.
Yeah. There's not much going on in Gilman, but it's wonderful.
Yeah. There's a Love's truck stop, not sponsored, but their bathrooms are always clean. So I always give a shout out to the gas stations who have clean restrooms.
I hear
good things about Buc-ee's too, but there's no Buc-ee's near us.
There's no Buc-ee's. So. By the way, okay, so Indiana or Chicago area, wherever you're at.
Right. We have listeners in Falkenstein, Germany, and the Philippines.
That's great. You guys deserve a Buc-ee's too.
You do.
In whatever your language is, just translate that. It's fine. And we also need a Waffle House.
That's so true.
Badly.
Yeah.
Badly. That loaded hash, man.
It's for real.
It is.
And then, like, if you stay at Waffle House until 1 a.m., it essentially becomes, like, fight night. Every Waffle House turns into, like, a boxing club after 1 a.m.
It really does. It really does. It's wild.
It's dinner and a show, dude.
Yeah.
For, $10.
Go there, get yourself some plaid pancakes and some hash.
Not sponsored.
I wish they were. That'd be amazing. But yeah, go get some food and watch the sparks fly.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a good time.
It is a good time.
Which, I don't even think there's Waffle Houses in Iowa.
I don't.
So we couldn't even hit it on the challenge.
I think the closest one to us, I think, might be in Southern Ohio.
Southern Ohio?
I think there's one in Kentucky.
Aren't there some in Southern Indiana?
Are there?
Maybe.
If you're in Southern Indiana, clue us in.
Yeah.
It might be worth the drive. Maybe we'll do a Towns Time Forgot, and then we could do a bit in the Waffle House.
In the Waffle House.
So there you go.
Very true.
Mm.
Could be neat. We'll think about that.
We'll think about that.
Yeah. Got a question here from user DeliciousBet1087. Would you rather know when you will die or how you will die?
Ooh.
Seems a little untimely compared to the opening segment we had today, but...
Well, that's the thing, because it's whether, you know, whether you're going through it like so many people are, or, you know, maybe you've got a disease or you got other things going on. I'm not sure which, like, well, then you probably know. So you would then probably just choose when.
That's true.
If you're like, oh, you have stage four of this, then you're probably like, oh, yeah, when's that going to happen?
Right.
Yeah. I just want to put it in my my phone.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. What's that? 3 weeks? Shit.
Eww.
So, yeah, I don't know. But if you're relatively healthy and you punch it in, it's like, yeah, when's that going to happen? And you're like, oh, wow, that's tomorrow.
Right. Like, wait.
But then, okay, let me throw this at you. Let's say... For example, you say, okay, I want to know when. And the when is like next week. Are you just going hog wild for a week? Are you like, oh, well, shit, I'm gone.
I would.
So I'm going to go rob a bank and I'm going to just take a bunch of money and I'm going to the strip club and I'm going to eat so many sliders until I'm ready to burst. I mean, do you just go hog wild? I think I would.
I would, I really would. Absolutely. Because why would I continue working? If I'm going to die in a week, why would I continue working? Boom. That frees up. Freeze up the week. So, yeah, I absolutely would just go completely reckless. But
then here's like, the thing. What if you're like, okay, I want to know how. And it says you die in a plane crash. Ah, I just beat your shit. I'm not going on a plane anymore.
Right.
How does that work?
That's true. It's paradoxical in nature. But if it's one of those things where it's, you know, you're written in the death note, it's got to happen. Like... Maybe it still works out, but not the way you think. Maybe a plane falls right where you are.
Right on you.
And then that's the plane crash. So
I
feel like there are ways around the paradoxical side of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a fairly healthy, somewhat young dude, right?
It's fair.
So I don't really want to know the how. You know, because then it would make me paranoid to, you know, get on a plane or something like that, whatever it might be. But the when would be interesting. Because if it says like, oh, you know, summer of the year 2038, then I'll be like, sooner than I thought. And then I can like plan out my life according to that. Like, okay, so I've got until summer 2038. But yeah, the how would just make me paranoid. I feel like the when would be a little more, less paranoia inducing and more so just like, okay, this will help me plan.
Sure.
You know, morbidity aside, it'll help me plan.
That's true.
So I think that's the route I would go.
I think I would go when.
Yeah.
As terrifying as that sounds, because the how, that could be 40 years from now.
Right.
You know, and then it could be tomorrow. You just don't know in that.
Yeah.
So there's all that uncertainty. Whereas if you ask about the when, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be 2039. It's like, oh, I got a little time.
Yeah.
I got a little time. A little breathing room. Yeah. We'll have some fun. Or like I said before, it could be a week. And then you're just like, I am drinking a lot and I'm getting laid. And rev up the fryers because none of it matters anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would agree. Definitely agree. Question from user Jed's Studios. Hey, I've got a studio too. What's something from your childhood that kids today will never experience?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I was going to say, you and I have very distinctly different childhoods.
Oh, 100%.
But I would say also I have a distinctly different childhood than those of the children born today, you know, young Gen Alpha individuals. I think the first thing that comes to mind is not having access to the internet 24/7. You know, there's the reason the derogatory term for Gen A is iPad kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You motherfuckers are raised on social media, so...
Your head's in it 24/7.
That was not how I was raised. I'd to play with little plastic toy pots and pans and Legos and stuff, which was fantastic. But, yeah, I don't think I really... got onto the internet, you know, YouTube and Wikipedia, whatever else, because that's kind of all we had back then.
Was YouTube and then Wikipedia. The PS2 and the...
PS2, right?
You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So we just did, like, gaming.
True.
Some gaming and stuff like that. And board games, big-time board games.
Yeah, board games and card games could go... I don't know. What is the future of board and card games, you know?
That's true.
Because kids aren't playing them.
No. It's adults.
So, yeah.
Like at the bar the one night, they had the game night or whatever.
Right.
What we played Cards Against Humanity or whatever. That was fun.
Yeah. I almost got us kicked out of the bar because I couldn't know.
We were going to gamble. Yeah. We were going to gamble.
I took out a bunch of singles, right? Because I'm like, ah, fuck it. We're playing poker now. And the bar manager comes.
He like lickety split. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. We're like, what?
Like no money on the bar top. I was like, ah. Oh.
Literally, he's like, is this $4? Nope.
Yep.
Can't do it. I'm like, it's shit.
I put $2 there. He's like, nah, I can't do it. Okay.
All right.
You got me.
We're fine.
Understood.
We're fine. But we are organizing a card game. So if you're in Northwest Indiana, you like cards, we're going to be doing that soon. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Better be there.
By the way, one of our newer friends, Ashley, she's 100% down on any card game we put together.
Excellent.
So it's coming together. Men, women, children. I'm not a casino. You're not a casino. We're not going to ask for your ID. If you're an 8-year-old kid and you got a tin of coins,
yeah.
I'll take them.
If you got a rack of bills with you.
That's what I did with your grandpa once. As a kid, I would lose, but not lose badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was being nice.
Oh, sure.
But then as I got a little older and I was like 13 or 14, we had one. And he had a tin of coins, about $14, $15 worth of coins, pennies and nickels and dimes.
Right.
Because that's what to play with. And he had a huge tin of them. And in like 45 minutes, I cleaned him out.
Damn.
And that was the last time we played poker. He's like, yep, you just took all my money. I'm done with you. I'm like... No, I believe I'm done with you, sir.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major dub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was. It felt great. It really felt great.
Yep. So what would you say is distinct about your childhood to kids these days, besides, you know, the iPad kid
I would call say out? The amount of time we spent outdoors. And if you're on TikTok and you're on Reddit and things like that, there's always a lot of these Gen X things that people put out there similar to this. Like, kids don't do this anymore. Like, there was this big billboard on Western Avenue, and it was just unkempt around it. It was just rocks and sticks and branches and high weeds and stuff. And all of us thought, well, that looks like a great place to race our BMW bikes.
Right.
Or BMX bikes, a BMW. Say, well, we might do that too.
Right, why not?
So we would do that, and we'd wipe out, and we'd come back scars and blood, and we didn't care. It was the best time. So we would do that Saturday mornings. Literally, I'm watching Super Friends. I'm eating my cereal. Boom, 10 o'clock. Yep, bye. Out the door. My parents may or may not see me for lunch. If they don't see me for lunch, they're assuming I'm at a friend's house for lunch.
Right.
And my dad used to whistle. That was for me to come home to dinner.
Ah.
So it was always like, and however he did it, like that did not even do it justice.
Yeah.
He could whistle, and I could be down the block or the next block over at my friend's house, and I'd be like, oh shit, gotta go. Boom, I'm gone, because I don't want him whistling a second time. If he has to whistle a second time, I'm on the Sweet Mickey shit list, and you don't want to be on that list at all.
It's not where you want to be.
You don't want to be on that list. But we were outside all the time. We used to play chase, which is tag. And all the neighbors, there were a bunch of neighbors that didn't have fences. Some did, some didn't. Mm-hmm. But when we were running around and playing chase, the neighbors did not give two shits that kids were running through their yard, hopping their fence, running out the back, cutting through the alley, running all over the place. We're climbing people's trees.
Damn.
No one gave a shit. And sometimes we'd play till late at night. And be like, oh, kids, you got to come in. Street lights are on.
Yeah.
Mind you, there used to be a PSA in our day.
Oh,
right before the 10 o'clock news, it said, do you know where your children are? Like, boomer parents are sitting there getting their drink on, like, oh, fuck, where's Bobby? You know, it's like, that's right, we got a kid.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. But we literally were outside playing all the time. And I grew up on an awesome block, Claremont Avenue. What's up, Claremont folks? It was so much fun. And we'd play late. And the cool thing is, parents would be like, oh, yeah, you know, got to come in. But then the parents would see the other parents would be like, oh, hey, Frank. Oh, hey, Mike. All right, blah, blah, blah. They start talking. We're like, yes, because we knew that meant like another 30 minutes.
Right.
Because they're out there drinking their old Milwaukee or their old style, and they're just gabbing, and we're like, yeah, excellent.
Bonus
time.
Yep.
So I think that's it. And just outside playing, getting into adventures, getting in trouble. Have I been chased by a cop? Probably shouldn't answer, but the answer is yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly chased a few times by those fine Chicago police officers. But yeah, we got in trouble. We had fun. And I'm not sure current generations do a ton of that. I don't think they do. I think that's unique to us. We did a lot of Matchbox cars. I don't think anybody does that anymore. A lot of street games. Like, we do pole-to-pole football in the street. Like, literally, like, two-hand touch. But it was hard two-hand touch. Like, if you put somebody on the cement,
Oh, well.
We did Fumble Rumble, and that was all over the place. I literally put this hand through a plate glass window because I was going for the ball. It was by this dude's house, and, like, eight people jumped me from behind, and my hand went through the window. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, all right, okay. And I pull my hand out. I'm like,
oh, didn't
not a scratch, dude. Good. It was unbelievable. But yeah, we just play Fumble Rumble and you just annihilate people. I mean, you just chuck people into a bush. Damn. Or I just don't think it's done that way anymore.
Yeah.
Largely. It was insane. But, and I've got scars to prove it.
True. Very true. So keep that in mind, iPad kids.
Mm-hmm.
You could be outdoors doing stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know any Gen Alpha people in my life, because that would be very strange of me. So, like, maybe you guys could be playing outside.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And we've kind of created a caricature for people of that generation, and that caricature is Gamer Kid Tim.
Very true.
And I think that's...
I'm playing Fortnite, Ma.
Not playing Fortnite. I'm out here with Harry. Harry, sir, we're playing Fortnite. Can I just have 5 more minutes, Mom? No, I already did my homework. I did my homework, Mom. I mean, that's Gamer Kid Tim in a nutshell.
Yep.
I don't think Gamer Kid Tim plays outside very much.
Yeah. Get some fresh air, kid.
Get some fresh air. Ride your bike. Cut through somebody's yard.
Do you even have a bike?
Do they have a bike? That's a great question. They might
not.
I don't
know.
They might not.
I think you can still buy bikes at Walmart.
I think
Although,
you can.
Although, fuck Walmart.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair comment.
Yeah, fair play, I would say. Final question of the day from user Shehram, Shehram. Shehram?
Sure.
786. Why did they do that, though?
I'm not sure.
If you wake up in 2014, what are you going to do?
If I wake up when?
2014.
In 2014. Oh, I remember 2014.
I would say buy a fuck ton of, like, Bitcoin, Apple stock, Nvidia stock, Tesla stock.
Yep.
And then never have to worry about money again for the rest of my life.
Ever. That's a great point.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. I mean, depends if I'm going back to 2014 as a 25-year-old or 2014 as... I was a 15-year-old. So I don't think I can play the stock market or crypto market as a 15-year-old. I'm pretty sure they don't allow that.
But you would know me, and you could come to me and be like, hey, so. Hear me out.
Yeah.
And we could go in on it together.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep. And then it would be family money.
It's family money.
Yeah. So that's an immediate, like, first thought. 15-year-old me, what would 15-year-old me want to do besides be financially comfortable forever? Probably, I don't know, I would probably be more outgoing. I feel like that's something I definitely could have done as a teen.
Sure.
Because I was definitely, I mean, I'm still kind of an introverted type guy, but not as much as I was as a kid. I was bad.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't talk to anybody, really. So definitely be more outgoing. But most importantly, make just bankrolls.
Yeah.
Just bank.
Yeah, that's fair. Knowing that was the year I lost my parents.
Right.
I'd probably spend more time with them. Although, my dad had dementia at that point, so...
That's tough.
It was, you know, you're not sure who you're talking to day in and day out. But spending more time, I think, with them would be good.
Yeah.
I think I would invest in a super nice RV and live off the land and get off grid and just flip up both birds and be like,
yeah,
I'm out. And just live that life. And if I get tired of where I'm at, hey, guess what?
And just
fill up the RV and turn it on and just go someplace else. And it's cool because, I mean, that is a lifestyle today.
Sure.
And it started back in the teens. So it would definitely be a lifestyle that would be appealing because then there's basically like groups that kind of follow each other around. And it's very much like a barter system. You know, somebody's good at that, somebody's good at this, someone's a cook, someone's this and that. And you just all kind of be like, hey, you know, I'll cook tonight, you cook tomorrow, who's getting the beer, blah, blah, blah. And you just kind of, everybody has their own little responsibilities in your little communes or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And that's appealing.
That is appealing. That is
super appealing. Yeah. So I would think about that too.
I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah.
And if you've got that Bitcoin money, you could probably get a really nice RV.
You could probably get a super nice RV.
Yeah.
And just live off the land, eat simply, live simply, and it would be pretty awesome.
Very true.
Have a sat dish so you catch a couple of games.
Right. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It's a fair point.
Yeah, I dig that. I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, I like that. What would you do in 2014, lovely listener?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know on socials. And thank you for being here.
Definitely.
Much appreciated. Thank you for being here. Good to have you back on.
Thank you for having me. I apologize for that first segment, and that was tough to get through, but I felt it was important to get through.
Sure.
With just some latest developments, and so we'll kind of see how everything susses out here in the future. But thank you for giving me this vehicle to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it. No problemo. So keep your eyes peeled, lovely listeners, for information about the Mo Show podcast. And this podcast, After Dark, AK209, gaming, my YouTube channel, my music channel, all in the description. So thank you.
And the Mark Mo Show coming soon.
Coming soon. To a theater near you. No, I'm kidding.
That'd be cool.
It's all of the internet, though.
Yes.
Bye.